I have a unique view from where I'm sitting, and I both get to listen to the choir and watch Taylor's face as he conducts. I think he was proud at that movement. I am so excited to be here with you today while Arthur is out of town. Don't worry, he'll be back next week as we conclude this letter. We've called it Dear Church, thinking about how in these ancient times, Paul wrote letters to different churches throughout the nation, proclaiming mainly, don't forget who you are. Before we get started, I just want to do a quick overview of Colossians. Remember, Paul wrote it, right? And why is he writing it? He's reminding the people to focus on Christ. There are so many distractions in their town, trying to gather their attention, other gods, other ways, other practices, and he continues to remind them who they are. And that Christ is in all through all. It's one of my favorite lines of scripture. Christ is in all through all. And then he calls us to be a community. We're going to talk about that today, what that meant to them and what that can still mean for us today. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the silence of this room and the longing of our minds and our hearts and our souls, we feel you, Lord. I ask that you let me move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. Well, we're going to start in chapter 3, verse 12. She'd email me later. I just thought I'd get that out of the way. chapter 3, verse 12. Will you hear now the word of God? As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything. Miss Rachel gave us a great illustration of what that could look like if we were to actually clothe ourselves in all the things that God has given us. I don't know about you, but I don't always wake up with a compassionate heart. If you ask my family, they would tell you I'm not always kind, definitely not always patient. Yet this is what I love about Paul's letters. You see, Paul doesn't walk into a church or send a letter to a congregation and say simply this: remember who you are. Remember to love God and leave. No. Paul gives specific instructions on how to live this life that we have been called to through Christ. He reminds us with these words: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. But he also uses a word that comes next. It says, bear with one another. This word bear is one that we don't really use very often in the English language. In fact, the Greek is anyankomai. I'm not a Greek scholar. But it means to endure, to put up with, to be patient with, or to support. Patience in relationships, bearing with one another, endurance in love. It involves choosing love over frustration, forgiveness in grace. Bearing is linked to the word forgiving, as we are called to do what Christ has done for us. We are to carry each other's burdens. We're not meant to do this life alone. We are meant to do it in community. And that's why he also speaks of the community of Christ. One of the things that I have the honor and the privilege of doing as one of your pastors is leading different memorial services. Sometimes there are people older than me, and sadly, sometimes there are people younger than me. And it's in those services sometimes that my drive home is just hard. It's just, I feel sad. I feel honored that somebody trusted me. And it was in one of those drives home, I called my husband. You'll see me walking out of work every day on my drive home. Hey, I'm on my way home. Do you need anything? And this one just sounded a little different. It was more like, hey, I'm on my way home. I'm not stopping to get anything. I'm just coming home. And he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. Kinda. I'm just glad I don't have to do something like this alone. And he said to me, oh, was Arthur or Jimmy there? I said, no. God. God was there. You see, pastor or congregation member, when we walk into a space of our friend in Christ who needs us, we are bearing with them the joy, the burden, with compassion, with patience, with kindness, with meekness, with grace that we don't have on our own accord. This is a gift given to us through God's abundant grace. I want to read one more time how this passage ended. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. So far this morning, I got up. I had 2 cups of coffee. I took a shower. I got dressed. And I'm going to be honest, it wasn't until my 3rd cup of coffee that I stopped to pray. I missed 2 cups of coffee's opportunities to do everything, celebrating and being grateful for the Lord our God. It sounds simple, but if you actually begin your day focusing on who God is, the rest of your day feels better. You're able to see the world through new eyes that only God can give us. You're able to wear that jacket of compassion and kindness that Miss Rachel spoke of. Paul cared deeply about the starting of this church that we are still benefiting from today. He cared deeply that people remembered who they were called to be, but not once in the scripture, does it call you to be perfect? To do it all right all the time? No, that's why he continuously gives us gifts to understand how and where. You might leave today filled with God's compassion, and then about 80% of you are going to get on the tollway. I believe it's the quickest place on earth to vanish any compassion and kindness, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself. I actually have a holding cross in my car, and I pick it up in times where I don't feel God's compassion and kindness. I gotta say, it's 7:30 this morning when somebody was driving up behind me very, very quickly. I grabbed the cross, and this is not a made-up story, and I prayed for them. And as they zoomed around me, I thought, good for you. As I exited the tollway and somebody slammed on their brakes and went right instead of left, I really did. I said, I bet they're going to the hospital. May they be filled with God's grace and God's compassion. And also give me a little dose too. Because sometimes when we read all these words, we think about it's just how we're supposed to treat other people. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I am my own worst critic. I guarantee you on my drive home today, I'm going to think about a word I messed up, something I did wrong in this sermon, and think, oh, you should be better. But in that moment, I'm going to remember compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, gentleness, and patience. As we continue in the scripture in chapter 4, we learn about the community that we are called to be and how we keep this community alive and thriving. Says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. This isn't praying while you're falling asleep before you go to bed. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the world, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am now in prison, so that I can reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech be always gracious, seasoned with salt. I would use the word preserved with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Devote yourselves to prayer. Just like 12 to 24 chapters, depending on how you divide this up for today, that gives us simple, practical, real, and purposeful things still today to do to make ourselves better, to make our hearts better, to align our life with who we're called to be. And then in that, come together as a community. Because if you're better, and you're a little better, and you're not so good, what are we going to do? We're going to bear it together. And when we walk these paths together, either our greatest joys, our deepest sorrows, or even, I mean, I remember when Dana and I were praying for this year, I just said, dear God, let this year be boring. I don't need any great joys or any great sorrows. Let's just keep it steady on the track. Even for those years that might just be mundane. We're still called to do all things every day centered in Jesus Christ. I think if I asked you, what do you center your life around? You would probably answer, what? Okay, if I asked you, what do you center your life around, choir, help me, you would answer who?
God.
God and Jesus. Fabulous. Yet, as I was preparing this sermon, I thought, yeah, that's what I would answer too. I mean, I've pretty much changed my whole life, changed what I wear to do this. But if I looked at my calendar, would it reflect that? If I looked at my bank accounts, would it reflect that? If I looked at my latest text message, would it reflect that? And some of you might say yes, some of you might say no. But what I know is each and every one of us can do a recenter. Because here we are coming on the season of Lent, where we are called as Christ's community to take time to evaluate who we are and who God has called us to be. That doesn't happen by just coming to Ash Wednesday. That happens by praying purposefully with intent about how God can be and should be active in your lives today, not just on Sunday morning, not when you leave here, but each and every moment centered in Christ's love, in Christ's compassion. How would that change your week? How would that change your workplace? How would that change your marriage, your friendships? You see, this gives us an overview of how to do it. This book of the Bible is short and really sweet. For that it still declares our love for Christ. In the first chapter, it reminds us that Christ is all and above all. It is the foundation of our faith. Then we're reminded of the ministry of the church. What we are still called to do within this faith. Prayer is not something that is complacent. Prayer is active. Our faith is active. Then we move to chapter 2, where we are warned about the outside noise in our world. It may look different than it did in Roman times, but I don't know about you, but there's shiny things and screens and ads wherever I go, distracting me from who I'm called to be. And in that, we are called to live a new life in Christ. We're called to be different. Let me hear this. Not better than others. In fact, we are called to love others better. How? We bear this together. We can't do this alone. We do this together in the church, in Christian relationships, guiding us, reminding us who we are called to be. Simply a child, a beloved child of God. So how do we do this? We do it through prayer. We do it through telling others about this good news. Not telling them by hitting them over the head with Scripture, by showing them what Scripture looks like in our active faith life. I love Scripture. I love how it speaks to me each and every day. And as I was prepping for this sermon, I just highlighted some words that really spoke to me. And I want you to hear them. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience for each other. Clothe yourselves with love. Let the peace of Christ, the words of Christ, fill you with gratitude so your hearts can sing. And I'll say it one more time, my friends. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything, every single thing in the name of our Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God, the Father, through him. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, we are excited for who you have called us to be. We are reminded through Paul's letters and through your grace and your love that we can do all things through you. As we go about our week this week, remind us even in our simple task that your love and your grace surrounds us so that no matter what task we might bear, we do it first through your love and also through the love and the grace of this community. For that, we are truly grateful. Amen.